Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Robertson, also known as Goldfinger, over at CEO.ca. We also will post a link below this interview where you can follow along with a lot of Robert's recent articles. And Robert, I have to say, I read over your morning email whenever it comes in to me. I like how to the point it is, and quite frankly, how honest you are. You're not really taking a bias in your market outlook. We're going to start more or less recapping the morning email you sent out today. First, focused on more of the macro big picture trends here, which big picture trends being we're waiting for the inflation data that's coming tomorrow, that CPI number. Estimates still seem like that inflation data is going to remain elevated. And then looking under the cover here to the more U.S. economy, we're seeing a lot of different areas, practically every area in the economy, showing some weakness, kind of going in line with, I think, what the Fed wanted in a way with this whole demand destruction. And also the fact that, look, people are running out of money. Interest rates are going up. Just not a good environment to be overly aggressive in the markets, I think. When it comes to this inflation data and economic data, Robert, what do you think is most critical to watch and understand for investors?
Well, Corey, yeah, it's great to chat with you again. To set a little context here, the market in general, the broader stock market, especially the mining sector and metals, have been under a lot of pressure since about the middle of April. And that sell-off and declining appetite to take risk by investors has a lot to do with the Fed tightening to try to get inflation down under 3%. And the combination of Fed tightening, quantitative tightening as well, which has just started, the Fed's balance sheet is ever so slightly starting to get smaller. Economic growth has been, weakening a bit in the last couple of months. I mean, the trend of data that we're getting since the end of May is clearly towards the downside. And actually, it's pointing towards the possibility or probability that we are at peak inflation right now. And actually, the CPI print that we'll get on Wednesday morning is likely to be elevated, no doubt. But perhaps the core part of the CPI will miss to the downside, and the inflation trends that we'll probably see in August and through the end of the year will be that of falling inflation rates. And if you look at the UBS chart that I shared in the morning email, that's forecasting the headline CPI actually falling under 2%. In the first half of next year. And so if that proves to be true, then the Fed is going to get its job done. And most likely, it will be pausing its rate hiking later this year. There is a bit of controversy. You could argue that they might pause in September. They might put in one more rate hike at the very end of the year, and then they'll pause. But based upon all the economic trends that I'm seeing out there, whether it's home builder cancellations or home sale cancellations or, used car prices, the trend is clearly negative across the economy. And just, if we think back to early 2021, we were getting all these, headlines about companies hiring and expanding operations. We saw Amazon hire like 100,000 people, at one point, in the pandemic. And it's just completely flipped to the other side now. Almost every day I open the Wall Street Journal or social media feeds, on finance, and I'm seeing companies saying they're going to lay off people. They're either pausing hiring, they're freezing hiring, or they're actually going to lay people off. And so it's pretty clear that the economy is weakening and slowing down quite a bit across the globe.
Absolutely, Robert. And we're seeing that reflected in the first quarter and second quarter GDP growth. But your point about the change in the real estate market and the change in the job market, I think is going to be even more substantive for what the Fed is watching as far as the health of the economy than even the fall that we've seen in the markets. I mean, there's no doubt that the general markets, really most markets, are in a corrective period. Most are down 20% or more, especially if you start looking at where they were at the end of last year in the third and fourth quarter and where they are today. But when you look at the real estate market rolling over, and when you look at the jobs market, you're seeing weekly jobless claims up the last 4 months in a row. You mentioned a lot of companies shedding worker. Amazon, that you mentioned, said that, whoops, they may have hired too many people, and now they're letting some of them go. We're seeing a lot of the tech and social media companies laying people off. And we're seeing in the small business reports, 6 months in a row of them shedding workers. So if that starts catching the Fed's eye, do you think that may hasten their call to pause? And do you think that would give them the cover to then eventually reverse course in 2023?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly spot on, Chad. Basically, what I'm expecting is the Fed is going to raise the Fed funds to 3% in the next 2 to 3 months. And then I expect a pause in the final 3 months of the year. And then I believe that we'll start to get hints maybe around October that, oh, there is a possibility that we could cut rates. We're focused on trends in the labor market. And if we see those trends get uncomfortably weak, so maybe if the unemployment rate gets up to 4.2% or 4.3%, they will be cutting, you know, a quarter point. And it's just, you know, as far as what I'm seeing in the gold sector specifically, so let's just talk about the gold mining sector. These stocks are so depressed. They are so depressed. It's gotten to the point of being very extreme. Sentiment is extremely negative. And based upon my analysis, most gold mining stocks are pricing in somewhere between $1,450 and $1,500 gold prices. And now, obviously, if gold did drop to $1,500, these stocks would still fall quite a bit more. But the fact is that they're priced for already sort of a worst case. And so anything positive in terms of Fed accommodation should create a rally here, because they're already so deeply oversold and priced for more Fed tightening. I mean, basically, for gold to fall to 1500, I would have to guess the Fed would have to hike above 4% on the Fed funds rate, and the economy would weaken quite a bit more. We'd see the M2 growth go negative or go quite negative for an extended period of time, not just for a couple of months, for at least a year. And so that would create a deep bear market across all financial asset classes. And I don't think the Fed wants to create a deep bear market. The Fed wants to get consumption down to balance things out in the economy and get inflation down to around 2.5 to 3% area, but it does not want to have inflation go negative for an extended period of time, because that would be almost as bad as having really high inflation like we have now.
So it really doesn't sound like a rosy picture, at least in the short term, for markets, as long as the Fed is going to keep hiking and potentially get to that 3.5% Fed funds rate, which would be, let's say, two meetings out. But the thing is, not just the gold stocks, everything is sold off, right? So is there any general section or any general area that you think will bounce back the best, or could actually be a leading indicator to investors that this broad market will get better for investors and it is finally the time to start investing?
Well, to be honest, Corey, I really like the biotech and healthcare sectors right now. I think that they generally outperform during times of slow economic growth or even, recession. I'm very favorable on the XBI here, and I've owned it for the last month. It was actually up 10% in June. But I also think that gold is sort of a countercyclical, asset as well. Now, obviously, it's not done well in the last year, or it had a little brief rally there in February and March. But overall, it has not done well in the last year. But the best times to actually own gold in the last 30 years have been just before the Fed went from tightening to pausing and then easing. We saw this in 2000 and 2001, where gold put in a bottom around $300 an ounce in 2001. The Fed was cutting rates in 2001 and 2002, and gold went on quite a run all the way till 2006 and 2007. And then obviously we had the global financial crisis, and then gold went on another run because the Fed did quantitative easing. So 2001 was a great time to buy gold. End of 2008, early 2009, just before the Fed launched quantitative easing, was a great time to buy gold. And mid-2019 was another great time to buy gold when the Fed was just about to cut rates in the second half of that year. And then obviously we had the COVID crash, and the Fed did more quantitative easing in late March 2020, was another great time to buy gold. And so all, you know, we have this pretty good sample size here from the last 20 to 30 years, where every time the Fed was about to shift from a pause or a tightening posture to a pause or monetary, you know, easing posture, gold took off. And so I think that we will see gold start to turn ahead of a Fed pivot. So obviously, it's not happening yet, but a month from now or 2 months from now, things could look quite different.
It's a great point, Robert. And that's the trends that we have seen every time the Fed has decided to come back in and reliquify the markets. Well, let's talk about the mining stocks briefly, because I know a lot of listeners to this podcast and a lot of your followers follow the mining stocks. They've obviously had a pretty rough period of time, but we were talking off mic about how your hope is really on the exploration side, that we start seeing some true discoveries in the space. I'd love you to expand on that idea with so many different drill programs going on right now.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, companies across the sector have raised a lot of money in the last couple of years. There's a lot of exploration programs that are underway right now. There's a lot of rigs going around the clock, you know, around North America. And so I think we've been hit with so much negative news, both on the macro front in 2022, but also in the junior mining sector. I mean, I'm not going to name all the bad news reports that have come out, but I'm sure the, you know, listeners are aware of, you know, of them. And it just seems like every week we get hit with some terrible news, and it's just like, oh man, again, you know, just from a probability standpoint, I feel like we're in for some good news trend, you know, for the next couple of months. And so hopefully that will be in terms of, you know, all these exploration programs that are going on, and we'll get some new discoveries across the sector. Some companies that I'm really optimistic on, that I'm long of, I'm biased on as well, you know, would be Endurance Gold, Banyan Gold, Snowline Gold. You know, these are companies that, generally speaking, have held up pretty well in terms of their share prices, you know, this year. And actually, in the case of Endurance and Snowline, they're actually up in the last couple of months. I think Banyan is maybe down a little bit at this point. But these are companies, they're all drilling right now. And the trend in all three of them is good results. So, you know, in the case of Banyan, they put out a new resource, 4 million ounces. And that's going to grow quite a bit. Now, you know, Endurance and Snowline are a bit, you know, earlier stage, but these companies have reported, you know, incredible intercepts, you know, in the last several months. And so hopefully there'll be some more good news there. And maybe one or two of those three will actually prove to be a big, you know, success story a year or two from now.
What are you looking for in terms of drill results then? Are we talking high grade? Are we talking specific sectors even outside of gold? What do you think would actually catch people's attention right now?
Well, I mean, I think with Snowline and Banyan, so just make the deposits bigger, you know? And if you look at both of those projects, they both look like they could be very, very big. So just more step outs, you know, with good grades. You know, these aren't necessarily high grade projects, but they're definitely economic grade. So, you know, you get step outs of 100 meters of a gram. It's a pretty damn good intercept. And then, you know, with Endurance, I'm wildly biased here, so let me throw that caveat out there. But there's been other people that have made the comparison that this could be a potential Fosterville, you know, kind of thing. It's an orogenic gold system. And they're going to be drilling these feeder structures to depth for the first time, you know, with a diamond drill. So far, the, you know, drilling that they've done is pretty shallow. So if the diamond drill gets down to 250, 300 meters depth, and they're hitting high-grade gold, 5 to 10 grams, over broad widths, this thing is going to be a big winner. It's going to be a much more exciting story that's going to get a lot more attention than it's gotten so far. So that's something to look out for over the next couple of months, because they've completed 8 holes already in this program. So we'll start to get those assays over the next few weeks.
So, Robert, final question then. How aggressive are you being with your portfolio? Are you buying right now? Are you still waiting broadly? Have you been selling any of the rips? Give us a general portfolio strategy for yourself, please.
Well, so with those companies I mentioned, I own all of them, some more than others. Overall, right now, I think I'm about 30% cash. And the reason why I'm holding that much cash is just because I'm kind of afraid that things could keep dropping, you know, and it's good to have some cash there and not be in a posture where you can't buy anything. I'm not doing a lot of trading in the juniors, although I have added a little bit of stock this week in names that have been beaten down even more. But I would think of those as more a trading long, where I'm looking for a pop over the next couple of weeks, and then I'll probably sell. And I have a clear stop loss. If things keep going lower, I'm just going to dump those. So holding some cash, not going all in for sure. But with my favorite names, I've got a pretty, you know, solid holding.
Okay. You're not alone, Robert, in keeping some cash position there just in case there is another big sell-off, because, hey, it's still a tough market, right? You can make the argument that it's catching a falling knife still right now and trying to pick a bottom, and we all know how difficult it truly is to pick long-term bottoms, at least.
Exactly.
Robert, thank you, as always, for your time, man. Great chatting with you. Great reading over all of your pieces to your subscribers. Hope you have a great rest of your week. Let's get you back on the show in the near term.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.